catapult was covered in oil. Hunter gave a low whistle, and all the men came back out of the catapult, got on the raft. This was when Ethan was glad he had one thing in his pocket from Earth, a small lighter. So 12 of the soldiers reached out the torches they had. Ethan lit each torch, and the soldiers swung the burning torches in the air. Just as they were swinging the torches, they heard a shout behind them. Some of the horde had woken up, but the horde woke to a terrible sight. People from Sofold threw their torches. "Spread the torches out," yelled September, because he didn't want to throw them all in the same spot. The torches flew through the air. Two of them burned out in the wind, but 10 of them landed. For a second, nothing happened, and Ethan was worried their whole mission was in vain. And suddenly, like a huge bonfire, the whole catapult lit up in flames, burning huge flames. And at that, it seemed the whole horde camp woke up. They got in their raft and started sailing back to Sofold as quickly as they could. But they had to sail through part of the horde camp. People from the horde started waking up, saw them, tried to jump on the raft and kill them. Suddenly, they were free of the horde and heading back toward Sofold with nothing but clear ice in front of them. However, from behind, a whole lot of horde people were shivaning right after them. Ethan felt arrows. What?
A raft or a train shivaning.
Actually, a shivaning tram is slightly faster than a raft.
But since he's shooting arrows.
No, there was a ton of them chasing them. Arrows were shooting after them, but there were also people from Sofold. "Get ready to be boarded," yelled Hunter, because
they just
some of the fastest people
in the
horde jumped up on the raft. They had to whack them down, knock them with pikes and swords to try to keep them from coming on board. Yeah. Suddenly, Ethan said, "September, what's that?" September said, "What do you mean?" Ethan reached behind September and pulled an arrow out from his back. But it had gone right through his sleeve and was sticking out the back of his coat. It had missed him by inches. Soon, some people from the raft jumped out to try to stop the people from the horde from getting on the raft, because the people from the horde were trying to get on the raft and cut the sails to stop it. "Just go ahead, leave us," said Ethan. "You can make it back because the raft was slower."
Can you stop? I want to ask you a question.
You can ask me.
Good thing he bought that coat.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing he got the coat. All right. Ethan and September said, "You guys go on ahead," because they figured if they shivaned away, they could get away faster. "No," said Hunter. "If not for you, we wouldn't have been able to come up with this great plan." Right, Brandon? Thanks to you guys. You guys came up with a plan. That was a good plan. You did. But it seemed like it was going to be too late. They saw about 50 people from the horde who were coming from the side trying to cut them off. Ethan calculated the distance and figured there's no way they're going to make it. They were going to be cut off, and they'd all die. Well, at least they'd save the raft. But suddenly, he saw soldiers coming from the other directions. Soldiers from...
Sofold,
that's right. Suddenly, hundreds of soldiers were pouring out from the gate of the harbor. They'd seen their friends in trouble and I guess been waiting for them in case they needed help. They quickly beat back the horde and the raft sailed safely into the harbor. The soldiers from Sofold quickly sailed back in the harbor too, raised the net backs up, and the soldiers up on the walls started shooting arrows at the remaining train of the horde. The horde retreated and shook their fists and screamed and yelled at the people from Sofold for fighting like that and destroying their huge catapult. But it was too late. The catapult was destroyed.
Good thing I thought of blowing it up.
Mm-hmm. Good thing Brian thought about sneaking out at night.
Can I see something?
Mm-hmm. I will tell you, the horde was not finished, and they had more tricks up their sleeves, but you'll have to hear that a different time. The next, after they had successfully destroyed the catapult, things went kind of quiet for a while, and right now I'm just going to tell real quick what happened in the next part, because I already told this in another story that was not on the tape. Anyway, after a week or two, the horde didn't do anything. Then finally they built this huge giant raft that they used as a battering ram. They loaded a lot of boulders on it, and the people of Wenomi thought they were probably going to be doomed, because once the battering ram raft busted through the walls, the horde would all pour through. So they got all ready for it, but when the horde finally attacked, they broke through the wall, and it looked like all was lost. The wizard Williams and Ear Marsh had worked together to invent gunpowder. Williams told them how to make gunpowder. They had put these gunpowder bombs all in the ice in the harbor, so when the horde was in the harbor, they blew up the gunpowder, and that killed about half the horde. Then the fold soldiers attacked the rest and routed them, and they went out and they burned most of the rafts of the horde, and finally the very little bit of the horde that was still left alive chivoned away or escaped in the few rafts that weren't burned. They left Soulfold alone, so the battle had been won with the gunpowder magic and the good strategy the humans had helped to have them. So after that, yeah, they decided they wanted to go, they were ready to go to Brass Monkey, and the Landgrave had promised them that if they helped him and won, he would do anything. So the humans got together, and Williams did a design of a clipper ship, a huge ship, 300 yards long as a football field, this ship would be. The life, well, 100 yards long, 300 feet long. It'd be by far the biggest ship anyone had ever seen in Wenomi. It would have three huge masts, just like a clipper ship with lots of sails on it. The humans decided to get Hunter and Balvedere on their side, so they showed them the plan. Hunter said, "That would be a marvelous ship. With that much sail on it, it would be the fastest ship in the seas. Yes, and it could have a huge crew. Soldiers or sailors or whatever we needed," said Balvedere. The ships there were kind of like earth ships, but they were more like rafts. They were flat on the bottom, and then they had runners underneath it, stone or bone usually. The clipper ship, though, being so large, would have to have a more powerful kind of runner on it. And September figured he could make the Dura alloy from the lifeboat. He could fix up a special foundry, very powerful, to cut some runners of it. So one day, soon, they all had the plan, and they had a big meeting with the Landgrave. They showed him the boat. His eyes opened wide. He started saying, "Well, this boat is just too big. You can just take one of our regular rafts to Brass Monkey. You can even take two." But they said, "No, no, no, Batman and Robin. No, 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 Landgrave. You said you would help us, and this is the kind of ship we want." "Yes," said Balvedere. "It would be the largest, most powerful ship ever." They had also brought with them Captain Tahadding. Tahadding was the best sailor in all of Soulfold, and they were proposing that he would be the captain of the ship. I don't think Tahadding. He's just one of
human?
No, he's a Tran. He is the best sailor in Soulfold. The Landgrave said, "This ship will be too big. The sails will tip it right over." "No," said Tahadding, "I've looked at the design. I'm sure this ship will sail fine. But how can you steer it? We're going to have a huge runner, and two men will be required to push the rudder," said Tahadding. "But with this ship, we can make the trip in half the time. And it's so far, it's probably going to take a couple of months of sailing anyway to get that far away." Finally, they convinced the Landgrave. He agreed to finance construction of the ship. "Besides," said Ethan, "after we're done, your sailors can sail the ship back, and then you will have this huge ship. And you might find interesting things along the way. Yes, you can be remembered as the Landgrave who discovered distant worlds and faraway islands." "I don't like faraway islands," said the Landgrave. "Soulfold is good enough for me."
Why doesn't he like faraway islands?
Show all the people on the other islands how great this ship is.
Mhm. Construction began. They had captured lots of ships and lots of weapons, so Soulfold was actually much wealthier now than before they defeated the Horde, with all the, because they got lots of precious money and swords and metal and all kinds of stuff. Stop that, Nolan. That kind of stuff. So they got all that kind of stuff from the Horde, so they had lots of money. Anyway, the construction went pretty quickly, And after about a month, it looked like the ship was just about ready to go. The great ship was ready to go. They packed tons of, finally, yes, they packed tons of supplies on it and everything. Got a whole bunch of soldiers to come with them to be guards, and all the humans came. Oh, by the way, one thing I had forgotten to tell you was in the battle with the Horde, some people from the Horde had broken into the castle and tried to find the Landgrave and kill him. The Landgrave had barely escaped with his life with some soldiers protecting him, but in the confusion, the Horde had broken into the dungeons and let go a lot of the prisoners, including Walter. They searched as far as they could looking for Walter. They scoured the whole island because he was a dangerous person to have let on the loose. So they never found his body. They hoped that he had somehow gotten lost in the battle and destroyed and maybe carried away with the rest of the Horde. But they figured if he escaped, he probably wouldn't go far before he was killed by a droom or froze to death on the ice. But they never knew what happened to Walter.
Oh, did he ever fly too?
What?
They never found out what happened to him?
Mm-mm. He just escaped. Did they ever, did what, Brian?
Did Walter have one of those cold suits?
Mm-mm. He just had regular clothes on. So he just had like a fur coat and stuff, but nothing.
Except on.
Like September? Yeah, like September did. So, anyway, the ship was ready to sail. All the people came out to see them off. And Hunter and General Belvedere had agreed to go on the ship, too, to help lead the expedition.
Oh, yeah.
To a hiding, its captain, yes?
Was their clipper ship bigger than the Horde's big battering ram raft?
It was probably longer and had more sails on it than the battering ram raft. It was huge. They had managed to make the sails, and they got a lot of crossbows and weapons and stuff with them. And they made several big rooms that the humans could stay in, especially to stay warm, since they need to stay warmer. And all the humans piled on. Williams, September, Ethan, Corlette Duquesne, and her father. Her father hadn't been much help while he'd been on the island, but he had done one thing. You know, he ran a huge company, and he had decided to volunteer to be in charge of construction.
Whose father?
Corlette Duquesne's father, the really rich guy. He had been in charge of construction, making sure they had all the supplies and they kept the schedule and everybody built things right and they had all the right workers and stuff. And he had really done a good job at that. Sometimes he seemed a little crazy, but that was, he was just getting old and his mind was getting weak. And he had done a good job on the ship getting it all ready. So finally, the ship was ready to sail.
You said that.
Yes. And it, on a clear morning, the ship sailed off. September and Ethan stood on the deck with the 80-mile-an-hour wind breathing at them. It was so cold it almost made your eyeballs freeze. Luckily, they had on their snow goggles so they wouldn't be blinded by the snow. As they got going, September said, "Watch me, boy." And he climbed up one of the masts to stand in the rigging with the other Trayan sailors. He ripped off his goggles and let the wind brush against his face. His skin would have frozen in a few minutes, but he only did it for about 20 seconds. But he said, "Wow, that was exciting." Sitting there up in the rigging going over 80 miles an hour, zooming along with the wind there. Anyway, the ship sailed on and sailed very well. The first few days, they passed islands they knew well. But as they got going farther, they got to a place where there were very few islands at all. Just, it seemed like endless sea. However, occasionally they'd see patches of black smoke in the sky, and they knew it was the wind blowing the ashes and soot from the volcano, the place where the Earth's blood boils.
Burns.
Burns, yep. So they sailed for many days on their trip, going far, far, far out. Finally, one day, they came to what looked like a huge long island that was sort of blocking their way. They debated whether to go east or west. It was hard to see because it was getting dark, which way to go. They decided they'd take a break from the sailing and found a little corner of the island they could anchor the ship in and anchored it for the night. Most nights they sailed at night with a couple of lookouts there in the sound, but tonight they sighted anchor and take a rest. They did, and the next morning they had been traveling west, but this island went from north to south, so they decided to go north around the island. As they continued on around the northern tip of the island, they saw a small natural harbor in the tip, and there in the harbor was a huge castle, probably bigger than one they'd ever seen. It was built high up into the rocks, and like most cities, islands, it sort of went gradual. It was just very tall because the rocks were like very steep up. It was taller than the Winomi Castle. There were no walls around the city, though. It was just a very tall, looked like a tall building. It was even hard to see if it was a castle, with a lot of steps going up and down. In fact, there didn't seem to be any ice paths at all because it was so steep to go up there. But right carved into the rock was one huge, wide set of stones there. Stone steps leading up to the top of the castle. They decided that they would investigate.
And it was ice walk?
No, it was just steps carved into the stone. So they sailed into the harbor and noticed it was unusual because there was only probably like a couple of rafts in the harbor. Most places would have lots of rafts for the people who live there and other people trading and stuff. The city seemed too quiet. But as they sailed up, they saw several Tran come forward who were wearing strange red robes. Most Tran wore like short coats and had weapons and knives and stuff on them, but these Trans just had long red robes on them. "Welcome," said this stranger of Trans. "Welcome to the island of Kilhili."
Does that sound inviting?
What?
That doesn't sound very inviting.
Kilhili. That was just a Tran word, I guess. Tran kai. Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I know.
I was thinking like Kilkenny or something like that. K-I-L, like in Scotland. Anyway, they said, welcome to our castle here. Make yourself welcome. "What is this place?" said Hunter. They said, "We are an island of peaceful scholars. We seek the truth, and we like to learn from the world. Everyone here is a scholar." Do you know what a scholar is?
No.
Someone who's smart and studies stuff like that. "We don't do trading or anything like that. We just like to learn. Learn about the world and learn about Tran and how we can make the world of the Tran a better place. We've got thousands and thousands of books and stuff so we can study forever." When they said that, guess whose ears pricked up and whose eyes started gleaming?
Williams.
That's right, Williams and Ear Marsh. "This sounds like a good place," they said. "We'll have to come in." "Yes," said the strangers. "You're welcome to stay with us. We don't have visitors very often, but it's always good to have them, and you can tell us what's happening in the world." "Okay," they said. So that's when Hunter, Belvedere, all the humans, Williams and Ear Marsh, and a couple of the other, and three or four of Hunter's soldiers, decided they'd come visit the city. The rest of the folks, they said, they could stay down in the raft, but they said they could take it easy for a couple of days and just enjoy themselves, take a break from sailing, or at least for the day, because they feared they'd stop there. Anyway, the humans all came up, walked up the steps. It was a very long walk up the steps, and the top of the steps, there was a big tall gate there. And the gate was guarded by two men. "Wow," said September, "this would be a great place to have a defensive castle. The only way up these cliffs is through these steps, or this gate here. A few men could hold off a whole army on the steps, shooting down on them and everything. They'd never be able to get up here." "Yep, this would be a nice place for a castle. I mean, for a strong castle. That's probably why these guys picked it, so nobody would bother them there." Anyway, they walked in, and there was the landgrave of the island. He had a landgrave, but instead of a big throne there, he just had a plain wooden chair. "Welcome, strangers," he said. And it was funny. No one had asked about the humans before The humans thought that was kind of strange because they look so unusual.
They're learning,
right. But I guess they waited and saved a question for the Landgrave. Welcome to the Landgrave, strangers from a far land. And he said, I must ask, we've told you who we are, now we must ask, who are you? Or said, we are from Sofold. And explained who they were and that they were on their way to the place where the earth's blood burns. When he said that, a lot of the people from Kilhi sort of looked sort of like this. When he said about they were from the place where the earth's blood burns, Ethan could tell they were looking at him strangely, so Ethan, being the spokesperson for the humans, told them who they were. We came from a place far away. And he explained how their ship had crashed and they were from another planet. Everyone looked very intently at this story at them and thought it was very strange. Ethan got a kind of feeling that they weren't really that friendly to them. When he was telling his story, they seemed friendly with Hunter, but they didn't seem to like the humans too much. And they really didn't like that they were going to the place of Earth's blood burns. Why? Is there a place wrong with that? Ethan asked. No, said the Landgrave. Just not many people go there. And we've never heard of anyone coming back from that place either. Some say it's haunted and some say it's evil. That's what the people from Sulfur used to think, but Williams had explained to them what a volcano was and how it was a volcano, how it was just natural, so they weren't really that scared of it. Anyway, will you stay and have dinner with us? Said the Landgrave. We've got many things we would like to talk about. And the humans debated whether to do it, but Williams and Earmarsh really wanted to stay the night, even though September and Ethan would have been happy to go back to the ship, because it seemed kind of strange, the place they were at. Anyway. So that night they had dinner. It wasn't a wild and crazy dinner where people were like stabbing the table with knives and fighting over the food and stuff like it had been in Sofold. Even though Sofold was crazy, the humans still kind of liked it better because it was where they had dinner, it was very quiet and people didn't talk too much. They told them about their journey, and the people of Kilhi told them many things about the Trankai Kai that they didn't know, and told them about other people who were around there. And after dinner, that's the planet where the Tran live on. Anyway, after dinner, their host showed the guests to their room. They all had two very large rooms where they could spend the time. Colette Duquesne and her father and the humans were in one room and the Tran were in one of the other rooms. It was cold there because the fires were not very bright, and Ethan figured he'd have to stay under his covers and tried his best to try to get to sleep that night. Anyway, they all went to sleep and were resting quietly. However, it seemed like it was the middle of the night, and Hunter was having a hard time sleeping. He got up. He knew his human friends were cold, and he saw the fire was going down a lot. So in the middle of the night, Hunter woke up and went to get a fire, some wood to set onto the fire. The wood was stored in a sort of closet room toward the back of where they were, and Hunter went back there into the closet room to get some wood. However, when Hunter came back into the room, he saw a large group of Tran dressed in black robes and mask entering the room. Wake up! Yelled Hunter. Wake up! Wake up! Something's wrong! Something's wrong! He yelled, and as he did that, the Tran from Kilhi attacked the guys in the black robe. They attacked. They pulled out swords and knives and started screaming, "Death to the infidels! Death to the unholy demons!" And started trying to attack everybody. Unholy, it's like, you know, holy is good, like God. Unholy is bad, kind of like a demon or something like that. So they yelled and started attacking. Luckily, Hunter's men were well-trained soldiers and hopped up quickly to stop the rush. That gave Ethan and September time to get up too. There was a huge battle being fought in the room there. And while the people of Kilhi there had probably 20 people in the room, They would have easily won against normal Tran, but these Tran were the best soldiers of the Soulfold, and they were trained well to fight with their weapons and had a lot of practice fighting the Horde. And the people of Kilhealy didn't have that great weapons, and they probably figured they'd just kill them in their sleep, so it'd be easy. Suddenly, when they were faced with snarling Tran, whirling at speeds, throat-cutting knives and swords and chopping them down, Kilhealy's people were pretty soon all killed. "We've got to get out," but more started coming. They heard more coming down the hall. "Quick, we've got to get out of here." Hunter and everybody ran for the stairway and ran downstairs.
It was when they killed the Kilhealy guys?
Yeah, they were killing the Kilhealy guys. But then they ran out of their bedroom and found their way back to the steps.
Dad, why would they
and charged down.
Because the Kilhealy guys attacked them, Brian.
Why did the Kilhealy?
They don't know, but they called them demons and unholy ones. I guess they thought they were bad or something. So, anyway, the party from Soulfold ran out of the room and down the hallway, out to the steps. They only met a couple of people from Kilhealy on the way who weren't even guards or anything. Probably the Kilhealy figured folks, you know, they weren't really like a big castle with guards and stuff. They were mostly scholars. They figured they would just sneak in and kill them in the night and it would be easy. So no one was really up. It was pretty easy to make their way down the stairs of the castle. When they reached the stairs, they flew running down the stairs as quickly as they could. They started shouting as soon as they reached outside to try to warn the ship of what was happening.
So they killed human people what? Just thought they were demons and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All of them, not just humans?
Well, probably the humans, but maybe the Tran were helping the humans, so they thought they were bad too. When they reached outside, they started yelling, but the wind was blowing from the harbor to the castle, so their voices didn't carry. And as they looked down at their ship, they saw bad sight. Black-robed Tran all on their ship. "Uh-oh, looks like they've been captured," they said. "Shh," said Hunter. "Don't yell anymore. We've got to try to work a plan." So they quickly went down the steps as best they could. And when they got to the gate, and they killed the two guards there. But instead of going down the steps into the harbor, September said, "I've got a plan. We've got to go around the side." Because it looked like there was only about 10 of the Black Robe Tran standing on their ship on the ice rigger. That's what they called their ship, was the ice rigger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was like a... Yes?
How did the guys in the black clothes get the chance?
On the ship?
Yeah.
It was probably pretty easy, actually, because the people on the ship weren't expecting an attack because the people seemed so peaceful and friendly. So they probably just had a few of them sneak up, or they might even just have walked up to talk to them. And at night, almost everybody slept down below the ship, you know, below the deck in their sleeping space. There was only be a couple of people up on the deck. So if they got up on the deck, they kill the people on the deck. Then what they could do is they could lock the doors and keep the people locked in the ship from the inside. So they'd lock the doors so the people on the inside would be trapped inside.
Could they breathe?
Yeah, they could breathe, just like you can. We can breathe in our house, right? But they just locked the doors so the people inside the ship couldn't get out. They were probably planning to burn the ship up or something with everyone inside it and just burn them all alive. Because September could see a couple of more Tran coming from the ice carrying big barrels of something, probably oil, on the ship. Anyway, September and Hunter and his group walked around to the edge of the harbor where the shadows were the deepest. Then Hunter and his men quickly chavanned over the ice, quietly climbed up over the edge of the ship, then suddenly attacked. Once again, it was the same story as it had been in the room in the castle. The people from Kilhealy had never really fought against real soldiers. So four real soldiers easily killed the 10 people from Kilhealy up above. And as soon as they did, they unlocked the doors into hiding, and the rest of the crew came pouring out. "What happened?" they said. "We heard fighting up above." They probably didn't even know they'd been captured until they heard the fighting and yelling up above. Hunter told him the story. "Let's get out of here," they said. "Wait," said Easton, "we can't. Colette Duquesne and Mr. Duquesne aren't here." "What?" In the hurry and rushing out of the castle, they hadn't realized that the Duquesnes weren't with them. They must have captured them somewhere," they said. "We can't leave them," said Ethan. "We're going to have to go back and get them." "But how? There's no way we can reach up the castle, walk up those walls. By now, they know what have happened, and they'll be guarding the steps. There's no way we'll be able to get up there. Even if they're not good fighters, they'd be able to stop us just too easily if we tried to climb up the walls." "There's got to be a way," said September. "Remember? Surprise. You've got to..."